You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
At 1:40pm on Friday, a white supremacist entered Masjid al-Noor Mosque in Christchurch and opened fire on those inside, more than 300 people. As events unfolded, Linwood Mosque was also attacked and Christchurch went into lockdown as police scrambled to try and contain the situation. Bomb threats were called in Christchurch and Auckland, and police warned anyone and everyone not to visit mosques throughout the country. The death toll as it stands is 50 people, the victims aged between 2 years and older than 60 years. 50 people were also injured and 36 of them remain in hospital. Despite what some are saying, many more voices are testifying to the fact that New Zealand has always been a racist country. Our colonial foundations are a testament to this, and the creeping Islamophobia that has infected the world is prevalent in New Zealand. Racist views are normalised, as seen by the recent visits from UK politician Nigel Farage, alt-right YouTube personalities Stefan Molyneux and Lauren Southern, and peddler of hate speech Jordan Peterson to New Zealand. They have emboldened white supremacists and their ideology in Aotearoa, New Zealand. The ongoing debate around freedom of speech has allowed their views to be propagated with little opposition. The shooter was active in New Zealand white supremacist communities. People are calling for responses to this very issue and are also saying how they tried to lobby government for support on this matter and have hate crimes accounted for. Videos soon began circulating of the attacks on various social media sites, with Facebook removing 1.5 million copies of the video in the past 2 days. The shooter's manifesto was also shared on various platforms, with the police encouraging people not to look at or share either of them. Questions about social media's role in spreading Islamophobia and white supremacy have since been raised, with the consensus being that not enough is being done by these companies to stop the spread of hate speech and propaganda. Many have been saying this was an attack on New Zealand. This was in fact an attack by a terrorist, by a white supremacist terrorist on the Muslim community. Many of those killed and injured were not born in Aotearoa, but chose to make it their home. Farid Ahmed, originally from Bangladesh, lost his wife, Husna Ahmed, in the attack, but refuses to let it affect his outlook on New Zealand, saying, "I believe some people, purposely, they are trying to break down the harmony we have in New Zealand with the diversity, but they're not going to win. They're not going to win. We will be harmonious." And that seems to be the response from many who are affected by the attack. Vigils have been and will continue to be held around the country. Around 12,000 Wellingtonians filled the Basin Reserve last night. Aotea Square hosted thousands. Members of the community spoke, as well as leaders of many other religious groups. Auckland Mayor Phil Goff also spoke in particular on the issue of the propagation of the alt-right extreme attitudes, drawing a link to the visiting Canadians he himself has had refused a venue to speak at. Green MPs Golriaz Garaman and Marama Davidson spoke alongside representatives from National and Labour at this vigil, but because we normally speak to the Green Party today, and no one was available to speak to us, we have decided to use their clips. So first up, I believe we have Golriaz talking.
My heart is broken today, but from the bottom of my Kiwi refugee migrant woman of colour, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for being on the right side of history today. Yeah. It matters. It matters to our communities. We are hurt. We are in shock. And we are scared. They want us dead. Our nanas, our granddads, our moms and dads, our little kids. We learnt that yesterday for sure, but for some of us, that hate that led to the violence yesterday in Christchurch, we've felt it out there on the street for years. Yes. Yes. That hate, it isn't the New Zealand who welcomed me and my family here as asylum seekers all those years ago. And I will never forget that. I was 9 years old. I remember the fear. It was palpable going down that escalator at Auckland Airport. We knew that if we were turned back, the unthinkable was possible. We had escaped oppression of the worst kind, torture, we'd seen a war. That is what refugees are made of. But we weren't sent back. We were welcomed here. And I remember now, and will remember always, that yesterday in that mosque, a little Syrian family were gunned down after surviving the war in Syria. They were killed in Christchurch, New Zealand. That isn't the New Zealand that welcomed me, but it is New Zealand today. It's part of who we are, and we have to fix that, starting by acknowledging that we have to fix it.
That was Golrez speaking at the vigil at Aotea Square. Here is Marama speaking at the same vigil.
Here, in Tāraki Makaurau, this very land we are standing on is land that tamata whenua were violently removed from to uphold the same agenda that killed the people in the mosque yesterday. I acknowledge today the hatred that everyone has fallen to. Understanding each other's history as tamata whenua, we acknowledge that the Muslim community has spent years of pained kōrero trying to warn the nation and the world about where hate speech leads us. Many of our Muslim people in Aotearoa are also tamata whenua themselves, who help us draw the bridges between our indigenous and tauiwi communities. We will not minimise this racism and bigotry. We will not ignore that your sons and daughters have been the targets of our surveillance rather than our protection. So that people understand that all the oppressions that bring us down for being gay, for being transgender, for being a person of colour, for being a woman in power, for being who we are connected and depend on each other to draw breath from the same oxygen that takes us all down. We have to own our own nation's historic and modern racism and violence if we are to truly fix things.
There's been an outpouring of support from various communities and community groups and activists. More than $5 million has been raised so far for victims, and the government has said they will pay funeral costs. There is yet to be any meaningful introspection from the media and politicians on how their anti-immigration rhetoric may have contributed to the development of extremist white supremacist attitudes. News outlets are deleting articles and political parties' press releases that reflect this rhetoric. Duncan Garner recently slammed Taika Waititi when Taika said New Zealand was racist as fuck. His well-known article referencing a queue at Kmart saying, "Dear New Zealand, how do you want to look 20 years from now?" used racist language and stoked xenophobic fears of immigration, saying, "As I started walking towards the self-pay counter, I saw a massive human snake crawling its way around the self-service island near the middle of the store, and it snaked and snaked and snaked. The snake was massive. I looked around. It could have been anywhere in Southeast Asia." That was Duncan Garner, one of our most leading voices in New Zealand. He is everywhere. All the main media outlets in New Zealand have given a platform to anti-immigration voices and are not owning this fact. Whether meaningful change in their discourse comes from this is yet to be seen, but judging from their glossing over so far, it looks like hostility towards migrants and anyone not viewed as Kiwi, whatever that means, will remain. Where we look for comment on current events should perhaps be re-evaluated, looking to groups such as Hobson's Pledge for comment on race relations or any other issue for that matter, legitimises and publicises those views. It makes such views moderate and pushes those looking to be radical further afield. These voices are not necessarily needing to be silenced or suppressed, but they must be clearly seen and framed for what they are and who they are said by. It must also be made clear that privilege comes with public platform, and who has and who does not have access to such a platform. Political parties from both sides of the House have also stoked anti-immigration rhetoric and therefore added to the normalisation of Islamophobia, as well as wider white supremacy attitudes aligned with such beliefs. Whether it be subtle, as the National Party's strong support against the UN Migrant Compact, or as explicit as ACT's Stephen Berry's remarks on the plague of Islam in Europe in 2013, or the dismissal by Phil Twyford of an entire group of people who have been part of New Zealand since its earliest days in saying Chinese-sounding names. Those who represent our country in politics must understand how these views kindle and make acceptable those that are just as or more dangerous. There will almost certainly be changes to New Zealand gun laws in the wake of this. Discussions are happening today in regards to an outright ban of semi-automatic weapons, and David Parker having to backtrack on his comments made on Friday. But we mustn't forget that this isn't just about guns. This very much is about white supremacist views. We have to ask if these views go far enough. Will banning guns actually solve the problem? Because the problem is in white supremacy, and that can manifest in many ways using many different tools. Assalamu alaikum, rest in power. We'll finish with a clip from the Project Australia co-host Waleed Ali, who reflected on the attacks.
I went to the mosque today. I do that every Friday, just like the people in those mosques in Christchurch today. I know exactly what those moments before the shooting began would have been like. I know how quiet, how still, how introspective those people would have been before they were suddenly gunned down. How separated from the world they were feeling until the world came in and tore their lives apart. And I know that the people who did this knew well enough how profoundly defenceless their victims were in that moment. This is a congregational prayer that happens every week like clockwork. This was slaughter by appointment.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.